The Bank of England warns of a material risk to the UK's financial stability. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. For the second day this week, the UK's central bank has ramped up emergency measures to prevent crisis from taking hold in the nation's $2 trillion bond market. It will now buy government bonds with interest payments that are linked to the rate of inflation. In one of the most strongly worded announcements, the Bank of England said the expansion of its bond buying program, which is due to end on Friday, is aimed at settling dysfunction in the market and preventing a fire sale by pension funds that now pose a material risk to the nation's financial stability. Antoine Bouvet is a senior rates strategist at ING. He explains how policymakers hope this latest move will help.
What the Bank of England announced today is that they will offer market participants the ability to sell these index-linked gilts to the Bank of England in order to support the market, because that announcement came on the back of very severe market volatility and a sell-off that threatened to disrupt market functioning.
Now, yesterday we saw the Bank of England, it said it was going to increase the daily bond buying limit to about $11 billion. But as you pointed out, it only bought $1 billion. So why is there a mismatch between what it says it is willing to do and what it's actually doing?
So there's a number of factors. I think one of them might be the reluctance of market participants to actually sell the gilts to the Bank of England for a number of reasons. One of them is, especially in the case of pension funds, the participants that have the most problem in the market at the moment because they need that interest rate exposure. Another reason is because the Bank of England has chosen a pricing strategy that is quite conservative. And in plain English, this means that they are not buying necessarily over the odds for the bonds that they could be buying. They only price or are willing to buy below the market price. So they here, as to use their own words, as a backstop for the market to prevent liquidity from completely drying up in the market. But they're not here to replace the market.
As we've been talking, I mean, the whole point of this emergency program is to bring stability to the market. It's due to end on Friday. But given that the Bank of England has so far stepped in 2 days this week, can it end on Friday?
I think if it does, sooner or later, the Bank of England will have to step back in. I mean, the whole point of this intervention was to give time to the pension sector to get its liquidity position under control and to prevent further contagion to other corners of financial markets, including corporate bonds, including interest rates, including stocks, including the currency, the pound. And by all accounts, this time is insufficient. The intervention was planned for only 2.5 weeks. And as you can see, as the end of this operation approaches, market volatility is increasing again. So I think, you know, the inevitable consequence of that is that the Bank of England will have to intervene more. They don't need to buy a huge amount of debt for this to be efficient. They just need to say that it will in case of market stress. And that's already something that will be, that will go a long way to restore market confidence, I think.
Antoine Bouvet, a senior rates strategist at ING. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Well, the central bank's moves have brought a bit of stability to the UK bond or gilt market this morning. Checking some other numbers, global bond yields, though, are rising as prices fall. That is amid ongoing fears that higher interest rates by global central banks could push the world economy into deep recession. Stock markets are also under pressure this morning. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is down 1.1% at this hour. In Asia, benchmarks in Hong Kong and Tokyo are down more than 2%. In Taipei, shares of Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturing giant TSMC fell more than 8% to a 28-year low. That is after the U.S. announced tough new measures to restrict sales of technology to China. The BBC's Joao de Silva has more.
U.S. companies must now apply for a license before they can supply Chinese chip makers with equipment to produce more advanced chips. Investors are spooked because the regulations are far-reaching, especially for companies that operate plants in China. The results can be seen across the boards in Asian markets today. But the storm clouds for the sector had long been forming. For a while now, the tech sector has been seeing demand fall for electronic devices, a consequence of a slowing economy, higher inflation, and of course, decreasing appetite for consumer electronics in the post-pandemic era.
That's the BBC's Joao de Silva reporting there. To Iran now, where nationwide protests are continuing following the death of a woman detained by the nation's morality police. That's the sound of students at Tehran Polytechnic in the Iranian capital chanting neither headscarf nor humiliation, freedom and equality. It's one of many demonstrations held across Iran despite the continued crackdown by security forces. Industrial plants are the latest to be hit by the protests. Videos are circulating that show striking employees burning tires outside a petrochemical site in southwest Iran. A regional governor today, though, argued those workers were expressing anger over a wage dispute and not at the violent crackdown on protesters. Still, Iranian leadership isn't united on how to end the growing unrest. That is according to Sidig Zibakalam, a former professor, at Tehran University.
There are many Iranian high-ranking authorities who have kept silence. What does it mean? It means that they are not satisfied with the way the supreme leader has been ruling the country. They can't say anything against him, so they have kept silence.
Well, one thing's for sure, those speaking out are so far refusing to stay silent. Now there are reports oil workers have staged walkouts at refineries in the west and south of the country this week. The BBC's Rana Rahimpour outlines the scale of the action.
Some workers of Iran's petrochemical and oil industry who had warned about the strikes a week ago have decided to go ahead with their warning. There were gatherings and protests, and they were chanting against the leader of the Islamic Republic. The translation of their slogan would be, "This year is a year of blood, and it's the last year of the leadership of Ali Khamenei." What's fascinating that they're still continuing. It has surprised everyone, activists, protesters, and the government. The head of judiciary said that we are ready to listen to the protests and their legitimate grievances, which many people read as fear. They said they're clearly worried about the fact that these protests are now well into the fourth week. So we're hearing that many of the people who are close to the government inside are now very critical of what's happening, because it's very difficult to justify killing 16-year-olds. So even regime supporters are finding it very difficult to defend.
That's the BBC's Rana Rahimpour reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.